Well, good morning to all of you. I'm delighted to be with you all this morning to worship God and to share His Word. Please turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to Acts chapter 2, and I'll read for us verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The title for my sermon this morning is The Mission of the Church. The Mission of the Church. And from the book of Acts, we are going to consider very briefly what exactly is God's purpose for every local church. There is an old story about a lighthouse keeper who worked on a rocky stretch of coastline. Once a month, he would receive a new supply of oil to keep the light burning so that ships could safely sail near the rocky coast. One night, though, a woman from a nearby village came and begged him for some oil to keep her family warm. Another time, a father asked for some to use in his lamp. Another man needed some oil to lubricate his wheel. Since all the requests seemed legitimate, the lighthouse keeper tried to please everyone who came and asked for oil and granted the requests of all of them. Toward the end of the month, he noticed his supply of oil was dangerously low. Soon it was gone, and on one night, the light in the lighthouse went out. As a result, that evening, several ships were wrecked and countless lives were lost. When the authorities investigated, the man was very, very apologetic. He told them he was just trying to be helpful with the oil. Their reply to his excuses, however, was simple and to the point. You were given oil for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that was to keep the light burning. The church, my dear friends, today faces a similar commission. There is no end to the demands placed on the church's time and resources. As a result, the foundational purposes of the church must remain supreme. Plans, programs, and personalities will not last, but the purpose that God has for His church will last. Nothing precedes purpose. The starting point for every church, whether large or small, situated in the rural or in the city, is this question that every church should be asking. Why do we exist as a church? What's the purpose for us as a church in this city? Until you and I believe what the church really exists for, I believe we will not have a solid foundation or a sense of direction for all that we do, and more so for our ministry. First of all, I would just want us to discover from the book of Acts, what is the church after all? As I read the Acts of the Apostles, I come to discover that the church is a divinely called Christ-centered community, a community of believers. And these believers, the book of Acts tells me, that they are united in their mission and they are united in their ministry. The book of Acts also tells me that the church is a called out community. The church has been called out from the world. They're called from the world now to belong to God. We as a church have been called out of darkness, the Bible says, and we have been called into His marvelous light. We have been called from death to life, from sin to walk the path of holiness. The Bible also tells me that the church ought to be a Christ-focused community. All that the church does and is should be centered around Jesus Christ. His word is what we ought to be obeying. It is Jesus Christ whom we are called to worship. It is Christ who we should be seeking to please day in and day out. And it is Christ that we are waiting to welcome back into this world. There's a third thing about the church that the Bible reminds me, that the church is not only a called out community and a Christ-focused community, but the Acts of the Apostles very forcefully reminds me that the church ought to be a missional community. A church that is so geared up, fired up for missions. The mission of the church is what the Lord Himself has given to the church. It was not something that came about as a result of the wisdom of the church fathers or of some great preacher and evangelist. But the mission of the church has been given to her by Christ Himself. His last words have become our mission. And the last words of Jesus are recorded in Matthew chapter 28, very familiar verses for all of us. When Jesus said before He ascended to the heavens, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them and nurturing them in the ways of God." From the passage that I just read to us this morning, Luke chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, I come to discover in a greater sense the purpose of every church. What is the purpose for which God has called us as a church here in Woody? I believe as I read these verses that there are five purposes that have been laid out very clearly by the Lord for every local church. And let me share that with you this morning. There are five biblical purposes found in this passage in Acts chapter 2. The first is that the church is called to be a community that is involved in worship, in adoration, in adoring God for who He is, and for all that He has done for us. The church, my dear friends, exists to worship God. Jesus said that our first priority as His followers is to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And how do we do this? How do we love God? I believe one of the ways we do that is by worshiping Him. It does not matter the size of the congregation. It does not matter the culture in which the church is situated or the nationality. When we express our love for God, I believe we are worshiping Him. The Bible says, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Before anything else, we are to worship God. This, I believe, is the first and primary priority that we as the church have been called for. A Christ-focused community that worships Him. Sometimes we get so busy working for the Lord. And I must admit that this is so often true in my life, where I get so busy running here and there, doing things for the Lord, that I forget to just worship Him. We don't take time to express our love to God through worship. Throughout the Bible, we are commanded to celebrate God's presence by magnifying His name. Psalm 34 and verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt Him together. Let us worship His holy name. Worship is more than just liturgy or the style of music or something that we just enjoy on Sunday morning. Jesus reminded the woman at the well that the focus of worship cannot be contained in a physical location or in a tradition. Jesus said, a time is coming and has come now when true worshipers of God would worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. We shouldn't be worshiping out of a sense of duty, my dear friends. We should be worshiping God. And that applies even this morning, because we want to. Because we love Him, because we appreciate all that He has done for us. The church is not only a community that worships Him, but it's a community that shares fellowship. And that's the second purpose of the church existing, to worship and to fellowship. And this is summed up in the word community. The church ought to be a community that comes together to share fellowship with one another. One American preacher, Rick Warren, says it like this. As Christians, we are called to belong, not only to believe. Did you get that? Not just to believe in Jesus Christ and all that He is and all that He has done for us. We as Christians, as the church, are called to belong to Him and to one another. We are not meant to be lone rangers. Instead, we are to belong to Christ's family and be active members of His body. Why is belonging to a community essential to the faith? It has been said that the five greatest needs of any human being are significance, support, stimulation, and self-expression. And I believe that the best place to be connected and see that these needs are satisfied is the church. I believe God has wired us for connection, to belong to a community. So just as the church in the book of Acts met together, they ate together, so it is the will of God today for us as a church. For us to be connected, to share fellowship, and to enjoy a relationship with God and with one another. I always wondered, why would people who started attending a church suddenly drop off? Why would they stop coming to a church? And more I thought about this question, I couldn't help but answer and say, because they did not feel wanted in the church. I believe that that is one of the reasons why many people just drop out of attending church. They don't feel a sense of being wanted. They don't feel a sense of community in the church. If people are not made to feel wanted and connected and part of the community, they will go elsewhere. The church ought to be a community that fellowships with one another. This passage reminds me that there's another purpose for the church. Adoration, which is worship, fellowship or community. Thirdly, I believe the church exists to be involved in discipleship, to be involved in teaching of God's word. Jesus' last words was this: go into all the world and make disciples and teach those disciples to obey everything that I have commanded you. Discipleship, as we all know, is a process of learning. We can't learn everything in one go. We need to be taught little by little. There's something that we call teaching of God's word in the church. We are all not called to teach, but we are all called to be taught by others, to help us increase our knowledge and understanding of God. And the church ought to be the place where God's word is taught regularly, so that new babes in Christ would become strong and mature. Fourthly, Acts chapter 2 reminds me that the church has a purpose of serving the community. The church has a ministry to be involved in. Ministry is what we do for others as a result of what Christ has done for us. Ministry is reaching out in love to those who are around us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, we are God's workmanship, and we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God Himself has prepared in advance for all of us to be doing. I believe the word workmanship means that we are designed. We have been modeled by God Himself for a specific purpose, for a task. We were made to make a contribution to the life of Jesus Christ on earth, His body, the church. God made you and me as members of this church to make a difference in this community. How we live is much more important than how long we live. One of the questions that I, as a pastor, have often been asked is this: how do I find my place in the church? Or how do I know if ministry is God's will for me? How do I know that God is calling me to a particular ministry? And I very often answer that question with this reply. God gives us five things to shape us: spiritual gifts, a heart, He has given us abilities, He has given us personalities, and He has given us all experiences. That spells shape. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. I believe those five things make you, and God uniquely shapes you to make a difference in the world that He has placed you in. And that is the purpose that God has given for you in the church. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Each of us should use whatever gift God has given to him for the benefit of the church. My dear friends, would you this morning take a few moments as we are in God's presence and ask yourself this question: what is it that God has invested in me that I can bless this church with? In what way can I be involved in ministry? In what way can I contribute to the work of God in this church? There's a fifth purpose that I find in Acts chapter 2 that God has given for the church. This, I believe, is so important. The church is called to be a community that goes out into the world. By this, I mean that the church should be involved in evangelism and mission. In Matthew 28, the Lord gave but one command to his church. There are four parts to this commission that is found in Matthew chapter 28. But there is only one command in those last words of Jesus. And that is the command to go. To go. We cannot reach people if we never get to where they are. However, too many of the churches have accepted this mentality. Let's build church. Let's make it attractive. Let's make it interesting. Then people will come to the church. We have got it all so wrong, my dear friends. For according to Jesus and his commission, the church ought to be going out there to where people are, not waiting for people to come to the church. For when I read the Bible, I come to understand that God, the God of the Bible, is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book from cover to cover. It is a book that talks about mission. The gospel that we have is a missionary message. The church ought to be a missionary institution. When the church ceases to be a missionary-minded institution, it has betrayed the trust of its master. Essentially, I believe the church has many responsibilities, but it has only one mission. That is to evangelize the nations for Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Can I hear an amen? Thank you. The church has been called to evangelize the nations. A church that is not focused on the world out there is a church that is not founded on God's word. If a church is only inward looking, concerned about its own members and the well-being of folk in the church, as good as that may sound, the church is not fulfilling its whole responsibility. For we as a church have a responsibility to the members of the congregation, but we have a greater sense of responsibility and duty to the people who are out there. The church ought to be, I call it, the incubator for missions. The local church ought to be the place where missionaries are born and sent out. I was thrilled to hear that someone's going to India, the land where I came from, to preach and to be involved in evangelism and sharing the gospel. That's great to hear that somebody from here, from Cardiff, is going to faraway India to preach the gospel. We need more such people. The mission movement in the book of Acts was done by the local church. Not an organization like CAECO that I work with, Cardiff Asian Christian Outreach, that is involved in mission. But in the book of Acts, it was the church that was doing mission. Mission was based in the local church, the church in Jerusalem, the church in Antioch, Acts chapter 13. I get very nervous when I hear about ministries that are not driven and have no responsibility and accountability to the local church. When God was about to launch the first great missionary movement through the early apostles, He used a local church. The mission was based at the church in Jerusalem. The local church was a starting point. And I pray that Woodville Baptist Church would be a church that is sold for missions, that is involved in evangelizing the community around it. The church is the incubator for missions. The Holy Spirit is the initiator for missions. It is the Holy Spirit who called missionaries in the book of Acts, gave them a vision, placed on their hearts a burden, and sent them out. The Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Paul and gave them a specific task to do. I believe we in the church today need to have our ears and our hearts tuned to what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit is not just saying that we need to focus on our worship or on our children's work, good as they may be. But I believe in these last days that we are living in, the Holy Spirit is speaking to the Church of Jesus Christ, wanting us to think of missions, to give ourselves more and more, to give of our resources, to give of our personnel, to give of our young people for missions. May we be sensitive, my dear friends, as a church this morning to the Holy Spirit. And if He's laying on our hearts to be involved in His mission, may we be ready and willing to do that. If the church is the incubator for missions and the Spirit is the initiator, I believe believers like you and me are the investors in mission. How will this mission of God be accomplished? It will be done when you and I are obedient to His call. How will God use us as a church to accomplish His mission? I believe there are two steps that the Lord wants us to take. Number one, He wants us to open our purses, our wallets. Not every person is called to go to the mission field. Yet every believer, I believe, can be a partner with those who are called to go out as missionaries. To put it very simply, if we are not called to actually go to the mission field, we are called to give to those who have been called to go. Is your wallet open for missions? Are you giving sacrificially, giving liberally towards missions? Can I ask us this morning, very humbly, who's going to Africa as a result of our giving? Who's going to Eastern Europe, to South America, to Asia as a result of our giving? Is there a missionary who's out there on the mission field now, serving the Lord as a result of us supporting them in their work? God also wants us not only to be giving of our resources, but He also wants us to be supporting them in prayer. The believers not only opened their purses in Acts chapter 13, but they also offered their prayers. Who is going to the mission field for whom you are praying as a church this morning? We pray so often for ourselves, for our families, for our children, and for all that just concerns us. But when was it last that we prayed with burden, with a great travail of our souls, for those who are out there serving the Lord in difficult and remote places? For missionaries who are right now serving in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Muslim lands, where their very life, their existence is being threatened. Do we as a church, as a family, are we praying for them? And so, my dear friends, as I conclude, if the business of the church is not God's business, the church has no business being in the business. A bridge that doesn't carry traffic is a bridge in name only. And a church that doesn't go with the gospel out into the community is a church in name only. Every Christian, that's you and me, within this local church is to be personally and actively involved in Christ's last command, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. I've been in the city of Cardiff just for 4 months now. We as a family moved from the Middle East because we believe God has called us here to this city to serve, for the world is here in Cardiff. In these 4 months that I've met people from different parts of the world, places where I have never met people from before, I met them here in Cardiff. And so we have a mission field on our doorstep. What are we doing? Cardiff Asian Christian Outreach, or CAECO, is just doing a small bit in this great job of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing it with the ethnic communities in this city. We are delighted that you as a church are partners with us, and we'd like to see this partnership grow, even as you stand with us in prayer and in support, so that every ethnic community in this city of Cardiff would hear about Jesus and see that there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. Amen.